The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, a big week once again here in the state of Oklahoma. And we're going to go back, kind of talk a little bit about what went down this past week and over the weekend up at Grand Lake. Then we're also going to talk about what's going to take place here in Oklahoma at Lake Ten Killer. And then we're also going to talk about what a fantastic weekend that I had, my friend. Plus, we have a very special guest.
Wow, that's a lot of information in the opening line there. Absolutely. The Bassmaster Bassmaster Open of the Division wrapped up on Grand Lake this past Saturday. Very stingy Grand Lake. I believe that you called three Oklahoma anglers finishing in the top 10. It actually, the title went back to the Cheese State, Wisconsin.
Bob Downey.
Bob Downey came down from Wisconsin and beat all the Okies.
First time he'd ever been on the body of water.
Yeah, which actually probably helps during this time of the year, kind of a transition year. There were two Oklahomans that made the top 10, so you were not far off. You kind of have a man crush on Toby Hartzell. Who's the jig guy up in the Ozarks that you always talk about, too, that you got a man crush on?
Wes Endicott and
Toby Hartzell. Those are your two
Go-to guys
for the Ozark region. He had a top 10, and then Thomas Canaday had a top 10. And then they went right down the road, down and over a little bit, and today is the first day of practice for Lake Ten Killer Bassmaster Elite Series, originally scheduled for May on Fort Gibson, then moved to the makeup date, which was this week on Fort Gibson. Then 2 weeks ago, they announced that it was moved to Ten Killer because Gibson was 9 feet high. And now they're on Ten Killer.
Yeah.
And it's high. I think it's going to be a flipping deal, Mark.
I think the river's going to come into play.
It's going to come into play. But 75 guys on Ten Killer, they're going to be grouped
kinda
up.
Kind of crowded.
But they're also going to be able to spread out. You fish a 75-boat tournament on Ten Killer.
It's kind of crowded.
It ain't that bad, though.
It's kind of crowded.
It's kind of crowded, but it could be worse.
Here's the other thing. If the river bites on past the bridge, cell service up there is non-existent.
Well, maybe they have some new. Maybe they have some.
Hopefully,
new
they have
banding.
Some kind of technology, because if there's guys that are really catching them up the river, there is absolutely no cell service up there. Very little cell service.
Yeah. Speaking of catching them, there was also a tournament this past weekend that went down on Percy Priest. A BFL tournament on Percy Priest.
I saw that.
Did you happen to see who won that derby?
Yeah, Mr. Murray.
John Murray won.
Yeah. His last victory, Toledo Bend. Is that correct?
Yes, it would be correct. Now, here's the interesting thing. So he wins. He beats Wesley Strader, by the way.
Is this a super regional?
Two-day. He wins over Wesley Strader, who finishes second. Kyle Welcher, who's also fished the tour before, actually had a great time at the Opens. He was also there. So Wesley Strader, second. John Murray, first.
Yeah.
The 60-something boat BFL. So he wins $5,334 plus $2,000 in the Ranger Cup bonus. Yeah. So he wins $7,000, I think, on a $350 entry fee. Dude won $12,000 in 8 regular season Bass Pro Tour events this year. He almost won as much in a 2-day BFL as he did the entire year.
Well, he didn't have a good year, Matthew.
On the Bass Pro Tour, so
that's
making
part of
up
the
for
issue.
It right there.
Yeah, I obviously he didn't forget how to go out and catch 5.
Yeah, neither did Wesley.
Well, Wesley, when he was on the show, talked about how he loves fishing the stuff around there and fishing the jackpots and all that. So, come on, man. These guys, they're never going to forget how to catch 5.
No. And we got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but we also have to get to our guest today because he's got to pick up his mom from the airport.
Yeah. JD Blackburn.
He hates it when we call him this super agent to the Bass Fishing Stars.
One of the few.
We talked a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Drew Rosenhaus or something about the agents with, was it Zeke Elliott and the holdout that we were talking about there? And I said, you know, there's been some guys who are called agents in bass fishing. Now, he's transitioned to some other behind-the-scenes stuff.
He's diversified.
Basically, JD is super behind the scenes. He went to basically like every Elite Series and Bass Pro Tour event this year. You'll like never see me. Maybe see him like kind of in the background of some pictures and stuff, but like a lot of stuff you see on social media from some anglers and then from some companies and stuff. Like he's kind of responsible
one of his clients,
for that.
Odd Defo.
He's that. Now, I don't know exactly how all that works, but that's what we're going to have him on to talk about, kind of his job behind the scenes in bass fishing. It's kind of a cool gig, somewhat similar to kind of what Dave Rush and I have done in the past, not only providing a lot of on location, we do primary content, but also getting some stuff for some companies and some stuff too.
Yeah, but he's cutting deals. You guys aren't.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. But I just meant as far as kind of behind the scenes on location stuff.
He is a content creator.
Yeah, content creator. Yeah. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, but he's also the super agent.
What's his name? What was his company called? Pro Fishing Management or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
PFM.
Yeah. That's
so
it.
We're going to get him on while he's waiting to pick up mom at the airport.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. All right. This weekend, I had my first experience in watching my youngest son play collegiate football.
He got in the game.
Yeah. He suited up, played. He got in. You know, he's a redshirt freshman. He got in on, I believe, six
Pause
plays.
Pause the story.
What's that?
Had never played a down of football until his senior year of college or high school.
Senior year of high school.
6'4".
6'3", 215.
6'3", 215.
Wide receiver.
Just quit playing basketball and said, I'm going to play football. And like set all the high school records.
Yeah.
And then what college was it?
Southwestern.
Said,
it's a D2 school.
We know you don't know anything about football, but we're going to give you a full scholarship because we see a lot of potential upside.
Yes. Yeah. Plus he had good grades. One of those combo deals. You know?
SAT.
Good ACT
score. Yeah. 4.0.
So he got an athletic slash.
I remember when he was sneaking out of the window in high school.
Didn't you do that? Didn't we all do that?
I never did.
I never snuck out.
Oh,
yeah. I did. Multiple times.
I remember we found AJ's damn windows open.
Yeah.
Getting picked up.
That's why he got in trouble, but it's kind of like.
He's a good kid.
It's hard for me to go, okay,
you
I get
never
you
did that.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're so straight-laced.
No, I did. I did. Even in a couple
you
of.
You never did anything
couple of road
crazy.
Trips.
I remember you've told the one story about the in college when you set up the drinking course or whatever. That was the most wild.
The back nine?
Yeah, that's the craziest thing you've ever
stories,
done in your
dude.
Life.
You
no,
don't
you
know.
Don't.
I,
you do
I've
not
done.
Have
anyway.
Stories. I've,
anyway.
We've been telling stories, and you're always uncomfortable.
No. Anyway.
Okay, so he
first
played.
College game. Right, they're playing against another Oklahoma College, East Central, down in Ada. And he got in. He got in like six plays. He played all the special teams and did a good job. But the problem was, his mom obviously was there, my wife.
Nervous.
Nervous as can be. Guess what happens in the second quarter?
Gets hurt.
No, another player gets hurt, and they have to bring the stretcher out.
Oh, God.
And then here comes what?
The ambulance.
That is correct.
Onto the field?
Onto the field.
And I know Carolyn. She's probably.
I know, dude. It was a mess. And then
was the kid okay?
He played really good. Yeah, so the kid ends up going off on the stretcher, getting in the ambulance. They take the guy to the hospital, and by the fourth quarter, he's already back on the sidelines.
Well, there you go.
So he was
precautionary
good.
Head neck deal.
Yeah. He just got knocked out.
So did he get targeted at all? And like, did he get any?
No. They threw the ball one time in the second half. That's it.
That's not very promising for a wide receiver.
Well, they saw some opportunities to run the ball. They barely hung on. I think
they
won 24-17.
Now,
when are
you most? You probably got a little nerve. I mean, when you're on special teams, he's running down the
head
field.
Hunt, man, that's all that is. You know?
Do you get a little knot in your stomach?
I will be better when he's not playing special teams.
But you get a little knot in your
stomach. Oh, yeah.
But you never got that during baseball, basketball, anything like that. But football, because, I mean, now do you
especially
watch the game or do you just
teams.
Watch him?
No, I watch the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch the game. They have a really, really good quarterback.
Cool.
Just one of those deals. Anyway, it was very, very cool. To see that take place on Saturday. And then, man, OU looking great against a really, really bad UCLA team on Saturday, too.
Yeah, it was it was almost like watching Wesley Strader and John Murray fishing a BFL on Percy Priest, OU versus UCLA there.
It was pretty ugly. Setting up for a great, great weekend in October down in Dallas. You've been to that multiple times.
How'd you like to be Lance Doty? Sweetwater, Tennessee, comes in with 12-11 on the first day. Four fish for 12-1 on the second day, feeling pretty good. Gets beat by the greatest angler to come out of the West Coast, John Murray. One of the hottest anglers in the last 3 years in professional bass fishing, Wesley Strader. And he finishes third with $1,500.
See you later. Go to the house.
He's got to be going, what the heck is this?
What are these guys? Why are these guys? It would be interesting to get his take.
And it was his first top 10, too.
Sorry, dude. Big boy's in the house. It would be neat to see his thoughts about that whole situation.
I mean, I got
that
third.
Would be cool.
Yeah, third's not bad. Well, it was John Murray, Wesley Strader.
I'm on a quest. I'm going to call our man at FLW, our FLW contact, and see if we can get his number. And even if he won't come on air, I want to see what his thoughts were about getting hammered by those two guys.
Do they both have... I wonder what their career earnings ahead of him are, because his career earnings are $2,295 now.
Don't you think that would be cool to find out his take?
Yeah.
His thoughts? Yeah. I'm going to see if I can get that done with our good friend Joe over at FLW. All right, man. How many times have you been to OU, Texas? A bunch, right? Several?
No, like two or three times.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one this week. Not this week, but in the month of October.
Yeah, John Murray has 24 top 10 finishes with Bassies, or with FLW, $147,000 in earnings. And then Wesley Strader has $1.5 million with 43 top 10s with FLW.
He's got some FLW.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you're going to get beat by two guys, those are two guys. I wouldn't be upset. It'd be like fishing the Grand and getting beat by
Toby Hartzell.
No, it'd be like getting beat by Hallman and Christie, finishing 1-2 ahead of you.
Hey, it is what it is. I'll see what I can get done on that. All right, coming back with J.D. Blackburn. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are serious about catching fish. That HDS is a dead giveaway. You've got the best fish-finding sonar money can buy. Time to build the ultimate fish-finding system with LiveSight Sonar. See what your lure is doing in real time. Watch fish strike as it happens. See for yourself. Take the LiveSight Sonar 30-day challenge. If LiveSight Sonar doesn't help you find and catch more fish, send it back, no questions asked.
Gamagot's the G Finesse Series. In my opinion, the G Finesse Series is the only lineup of hooks you need for any fishing you do.
But I know a lot of guys haven't used this hook yet.
G Finesse Series has the nano coat on the hooks. The nano coating makes the hooks sharper, smoother, for a better hookup ratio.
20% stronger than black nickel. Wow, that is incredible. That's a lot of strength.
My Gamagot's G Finesse Series, perfect finesse fishing for you.
Check out the G Finesse series of hooks by Gamagatsu.
The heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Guys, Gerald Swindle, Sunline Pro Staff. If you're a flipper, a slack line hook setter, you're really putting a lot of impact into your hook set, look for the shooter. It comes off the smooth, really smooth. Like when you're flipping, it is smooth. If you're gonna be drop shotting and cranking, sniper's the deal, man. It seems like it's a little bit less likely, like on a sharp hook set, it doesn't seem like it likes it as much. But for coming off the spool on spinning rod, leaders, cranking, like if I'm going to throw a big plug at Gunnersville, I've still got strong, strong tensile strength that's not going to give out on me, but yet the line's thin enough for it to get down. So to me, shooter takes a hook set, snipers for everything else. So if you're going to slack line them, go shooter.
The name SPRO says it all. SPRO stands for Sports Professionals. When you look at the pro staff that Spro has brought on board over the past 15 years, it's been pretty incredible. I mean, one got it just then. From the development of the Rock Crawler to the McStick, from the Fat Papa to the Little John series, when you tie a Spro bait on, you know it's been designed by a professional to get the job done.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
At Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
Hey guys, Cliff Perch here with AFCO. I've got the new camo hooded Reaper. It's gonna be a great thing both for fishing and hunting this fall. I can tell you a couple of the features about it. Got the face mask like all the Reapers do, vented in front. It's got the fleece on the inside, so it's really comfortable. It's super warm. When you come down to the pocket, it's got this little snap system called Block Tapey, and it's silent. You know, it doesn't make that sound that other snaps and other systems that hook it together make. Great for hunting, and it's gonna keep that stuff in your pocket.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water, day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
All right, we are back kicking off the week here on a Monday. And Matthew, a little housekeeping to do.
Yeah, I believe I said Percy Priest. It was Watts Bar.
Yeah.
That Wesley Strader and John Murray cleaned house on.
Yeah.
Two names.
Got that straight now.
Are they even in the same state? Where's...
Yes.
Where are they?
Tennessee.
They're both in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Do you find that there are certain lakes... Like, okay, you know how there's certain universities that, like, you have no idea what state they're in?
Slippery Rock.
Like, Valparaiso was one of those for me.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea where Valparaiso, like Valpo.
Yeah.
That's in Indiana, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
there's
see?
A ton of them, man.
There's a couple.
Slippery Rock. You know where Slippery Rock is?
Pennsylvania.
Now, how did you know that?
Because they have a hockey team.
Oh, okay.
But no, there's a couple lakes that are like that, too. And you get out into like that North Georgia, Tennessee area like that. And like, I lose track of like what.
Yeah.
What state they're in.
Hey, there's a post on the instant feedback that I'm going to address after we have our guest on from Austin in Alabama. And we'll let you know on that. It's nothing bad. It's just I need to address it.
Okay.
All right. It's about Lake Tenkiller this week.
Oh,
so
okay.
we'll get into that here in a minute.
All right.
All right, you ready for our guest?
Let's hit him up.
It's been out there forever. You know, been out there a long time.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I mean, I started going to the elites full time in 2008, and you started going in 2006.
Yeah.
And JD wasn't that far after.
Yeah. Maybe 9 or 10. I don't know. We'll ask him. All right, let's bring him in. JD, you there, man?
I am. What's going on, fellas?
All right. When did you start this gig?
I was looking back. I started my LLC in September 2006.
Wow, but when did you appear on the Elite Series for the first time?
The first tournament I went to was 2007, the Bassmaster Classic in Guntersville.
Okay, what about the Elite Series?
And then I went to like the next Elite Series after that. So I started going to them then.
2008.
Went to, 2007, because the Classic was in the spring, you know, in the like February.
Yeah.
And then started going to tournaments, and it seems like I go to more and more every year.
I thought seven was on Lay.
It was Lay Lake, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I said Gunnersville, Birmingham.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah. Occasionally we say the wrong lake, JD, you're out here.
Like, that's what that he just did.
All right, squats bar.
So kind of start things out, just get a base here. Like, who are you and what do you do and how did you get into this game?
Sure, absolutely. I'll say lifelong fan of fishing. I'm eating up with it. Grew up watching the TV shows and reading the magazines and following these guys, and never thought it would, become part of my profession, but just really, love the history of it. And I found over the years that I could remember, like, whose guy was sponsored by, this company. And so I kind of have, I remember way back, and fished some tournaments around here, fun stuff. And, worked in healthcare management here in Nashville. There's a lot of that, and a couple corporate buyouts and stuff. And I had some time, and I was like, I want to look at getting into fishing. I was 30 years old, still young for, my life was ahead of me. So I thought, well, I'll just do a career change and start trying to get into fishing. And the way you do that, you kind of do your due diligence. You talk to people, met some people, having that history of always having a big respect for the pros and what they do and the influence they have. And so I said, well, I'm just going to try to figure out how to work with anglers. What do they need? And you ask a pro angler, anybody, what they need, they'll say sponsors. So that's a lot more complicated than I thought it was, but I just dove in and I was like, I want to help an angler get a sponsorship. And that's kind of where I was in 2006.
So then what? You just like called up some anglers or you called up spots or like what was your first kind of like, holy cow, this is working?
That's several years later when I felt like it was finally working. We had Randy Howell came to speak at our church, and so I got to pick Randy's brain a little bit and on the business end. And it's funny, from Randy, he introduced me to somebody, and then I ended up meeting Bill Lowen in 2007, one of those first Elite Series tournaments. And that was one of those days you could go and practice with the elites, like you'd take a family member or somebody. And Jennifer didn't want to go out that day, and she's like, you're welcome to go. So we went out, and then I got to witness in the boat how good these guys are. And if you have any doubt about do I want to be on the business side or the fishing side, I mean, these guys are just unreal. And it just helped me really reinforce that. It's kind of like going to play golf with a PGA Tour pro. It's like, yeah, I'm pretty good at golf. And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm a good fisherman, but I'm not like Bill Lowen. So. And then so it was like, hey, how do we get, how do we work together? How do we get sponsors and what do they need? And that was the question that you really have to ask. What do the sponsors need? And then, that was back in 2007, what do you do for sponsors? Well, you get them, on the internet, you try to get them on TV articles and things. And of course, that landscape has changed so much to social media and video and photography. So, that was kind of the transition of, get a couple sponsors and they say, hey, we would love to have this photo, or we'd love to have this testimonial video. Well, you got to learn how to do those things. And so then that's how it kind of transitioned to, working for more than just individual anglers. But I still work with those guys and got great relationships with them. That's so much fun, to be a part of these guys' career. That's the guys we're cheering for, individual anglers and their families. So that's been one of the greatest parts about it, getting to know those guys really well.
So when you started out, in the beginning, JD, did you position your company, your brand, as an agent, as the general fan would interpret an agent and kind of, relate it to other individual sports or team sports?
Yeah.
Did you position yourself as their agent?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, obviously there's no, you know, agents, as we think about, are paid by their percentage of the contracts, right? So, you know, you mentioned Zeke Elliott and who his agent. I mean, there's, they get a, and it's capped, you know, whatever it is, 2% or whatever. So there, you don't have that revenue stream, but you are looking at, okay, sponsorship dollars. So yeah, I want to, but you have to, you know, lay it out there where it's like, I'm not just his agent. I'm just not the guy on the cell phone, you know, trying to negotiate something. It's you figure out what they need, you know, and then you figure out how to make it all work. So it's more, you know, a marketing, little marketing PR agency, really, is kind of what it grew into. Nobody likes the term agent, really.
I mean, I'm thinking like Jerry Maguire, like, show me the money. You got Bill Lowen in the towel. You're going, show me the money. And he's going, show me the money. I mean, it's not like that.
I've had anglers say, show me the money before, but it didn't quite play out like that.
So you play more of a support role than straight agent.
Absolutely. Again, what does somebody need, and how do we solve that problem? How do we fill that need? And so, yeah, it became, you know, I mentioned social media. Social media came in. It's like, okay, hey, we've got to do a good job. And that's what kind of created going to more tournaments. It's like, okay, you know, that was great. You know, we got some good pictures at that event, and then, you know, I've got other responsibilities. You know, this for six years, I was doing other work too, you know, contract work. You know, I was like, I'm not making my family suffer to not be able to pay the bills just because I've got this dream that may or may not work. So, you know, I couldn't clear my schedule. And so I had to get to the point where I could break free from that other contract work and be able to go to all the tournaments. And that's been the last 9 years, I guess, going to all of them.
Very nice. All right, now a lot of people on the instant feedback, JD, they want to know exactly, if you had to describe the services that you offer, what are those? And then secondly, they want to know, how do you get paid, man?
Yeah, the services are basically, you know, content creation, you know, branding. I mean, you've got to steadily keep a guy out in the public eye, and each angler needs different things and where they are in their career. But it's, you know, it's marketing assistance, you know, and like I said, that turned into, you know, companies saying, hey, you know, we like what you're doing there. We like what we're seeing. Can you do that for our pro staff? You know, and the first one, and probably one of my favorite clients is Triton Boats that came along. So, you know, for Triton Boats, you know, social media and digital marketing, we're a big part of that. So it's transitioned to a lot of company work. You know, I'm not out there trying to, you know, sign up the next, you know, pro angler. It's more just, you know, who are the guys coming up and which companies they work for. Okay, let's bring them in. Let's make sure we know. I try to have a really good personal relationship. So always trying to focus on what the anglers need and their perspective and things like that. So that's and I give a ton of free advice. I mean, I'm sure all your loyal listeners, you know, they're welcome to call and I'll give them free advice. You know, sometimes that free advice is don't do this, don't quit your day job. There's a lot of that, you know, but I give a lot of free advice and I don't mind it because there's been people that helped me starting out. As far as getting paid, I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's an annual retainer on projects. You know, if I'm fortunate enough to make a connection between a company and an angler, you want to get that situation where everybody's incentivized. Hey, you know, you want to have the angler incentivized to do these things for the angler, keep them top of mind. And then, you know, if I'm on a percentage of that, it kind of helps me to, you know, hey, let's get up, let's go knock this out. Let's make sure we deliver this. So it's, you know, it's, there's some fixed portions of this compensation and there's some that's variable, you know, based on, you know, how the sponsorships are going. So then, it's changed and it's changed over the years too. Not a part of winning. You know, we talked to people were asking, hey, you know, somebody wins a big tournament. It's not that the angler really is responsible for their expenses and their winnings, and that's on them. So.
All right, I want to do this before I go to the instant feedback. I want you to tell everybody, who are you working with right now? What anglers are you working with right now?
Okay, well, this year you had the big split, so I've got a couple anglers on Bass Pro Tour, a couple anglers that I work with on the Elites. On the Elites is Bill Lowen and Brandon Lester. And then on the Bass Pro Tour side, it's Ott Defoe and Bradley Roy. You couldn't find four better guys if you tried. But I could go on and on about how great those men are, their families, how much respect I have for them. I get to help them tell their story. I get to help document what they're doing and the knowledge they have. And I couldn't find, they're all different. They're all different. And I love that. And but they're great, great fellows. And there's, some of the clients I've got on my website, Pro Fishing Management. And those change. There's some work that we do. It's like, hey, I always try to, the focus is never on me. I don't have an Instagram, things like that. It's I want focus to be on those companies, on those anglers, because that's what we all care about. That's what I care about. I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on, but we like the fishing, and I'm sure the fans do too.
This is part of the behind the scenes glimpse, JD. This is the whole point of it. Hey. This is. So, how many events did you go to this year? How many events did you go to this year then, between the 8 regular season Bass Pro Tour events? There's 9 regular season Elite Series events. They're on a classic. You've got the red. I mean, were you on the road for 15 to 18 of these events?
Yeah. You had, we had 3, I think, that were
overlapped. Yep.
We had the Elites and the Bass Pro Tour. So, there's several, guys that I've got joint ventures with, partnerships with that go. And actually, this week is great. The Elites are in Oklahoma. That was a reschedule. I had booked myself to take pictures for my daughter's homecoming. So I've got a young guy named Hunter Hanks who's covering that. And he covered Cayuga for us when the Red Crest was going on. The Elites had a tournament in New York. And so I'm really excited about him. He was an intern and awesome guy. I mean, just amazing guy. And he's going this week. So I'm out this week. But I've been to the majority of them. It's been a lot on the road. And so I'm hoping maybe Hunter can go to some more of those and cover those. Another guy, Brendan Canese, and then TJ DeVoe, we all kind of team up. And as you know, there was a lot to cover this year. But it was a really good year. It was a really fulfilling year for everybody. It was a great year. So.
How many? I kind of know this answer, but no one else. It's how many other JD Blackburns are out there? How many other people are out there that are doing you? Is it a feeding frenzy behind stage of people trying to get at? Or are you kind of a rare breed, one of a couple guys? I mean, you pretty much made your own job, didn't you?
Pretty much. Yeah. There was a guy in 2006, his name was Elvin Smith, and I still keep up with Elvin. He was an attorney. I have a CPA background. So, either of those backgrounds I think are helpful, but, he was an attorney and didn't really like the sales part of it, but he and I compared notes a lot and, he, helped on some deals and things like that. People call and they say, hey, I Googled around for, pro fishing, marketing, management, whatever. And I found you and I found Mike Iaconelli's group. So Mike's got a group. They got some great anglers over there that they do some work with. And, so there's not a lot. No. And I understand why. It's difficult. It's challenging. You can probably make a whole lot more money in other industries. There's no other industry I'd want to work in. It's a unique situation.
All right. Brian from Lake Norman wants to know, what are your relationships like with the tours?
Good. I mean, the more interest, that we can bring to anglers, the better, the more, if it's good social media content, somebody sees that and like, oh yeah, there's a tournament this week. I better tune in. So yeah, I think they're happy to have us there. It just, you know, brings more interest to the sport. And then I know everybody's glad to see the company. So when a company sends us there to document an event, to cover an event, to gather content, and then that goes through their platforms, that helps everybody, you know, and it helps the pros too, because, you know, the attention is on those competitors. So, yeah, there's a lot of, and they're just good people in the sport. And that's the best part about it. And you hear people say that, but it is. And most, 99% of the people are glad to be there. You know, you go to ICAST, everybody's glad to be there. You go to a tournament, people are glad to be there. Can't say that for a lot of workplaces. So,
all right.
I think it's pretty good.
All right. Frank in Michigan wants to know, is there a different approach when it comes to sponsorship and positioning guys with the different tours?
Well, you know, the different tour, I mean, it's still fishing. I mean, it's still, yeah, I mean, it's the different tours. I mean, almost in my mind, it's like American League, National League. You got a designated hitter in one, you don't have it in the other. You know, I think there's a little of that with the fans too. You know, I like the designated hitter, I don't like it. It's kind of the analogy I've come up with. So, you know,
I leave it at that. Anytime, I mean, you can throw in a major sport analogy, we're all about that.
Yeah.
I'm a baseball guy, so that's,
I mean, if it had been bowling related, if it had been a bowling related analogy, that's the only way it could have gotten better, Jim.
No, that's not true. No, it's all good, man.
I know.
Hey, JD, how many guys, and obviously I don't want you to name them off, but how many guys do you think in this industry, all three tours, even guys that have their own television show or YouTube or whatever, how many guys do you think in this business have a six-figure income without their winnings? Do you think it's greater than 20, greater than 10? I mean, if you had to put a number on it, what would it be?
I bet there's closer to 100. I mean, if you look at their tax returns, we have a lot of write-offs in fishing.
I'm not talking winnings. You know, I'm just talking
sponsorship
pure
only.
Sponsorship deal, not on winnings.
Yeah. No, I would think there's. I don't know. I mean, I know the guys I work with, and I would think there's at least 100 guys across the board. You know, I mean, your income's coming from, you got a bunch of different sponsors, and I mean, I'd say there's more than you think. There really are. I mean, these guys are, most of them are good, smart businessmen, you know? They drive the market. I mean, if you look at the industry, I mean, these are the guys that are kind of, you know, teaching all of us how to fish. They're the ones that are influencing all these people. So there's a lot of influence. There's a lot of social media reach. You know, they're good anglers, and I think they're worth more than a lot of times we think.
That's still only 30%.
I'm going to very graciously and respectfully disagree with that statement, but that's why we are who we are, JD.
Jeffries thinks that there's about three people that are making a living in bass fishing.
That's
not
true. The
rest of them are eating beanie weenies and top ramen.
That is not true.
And every once in a while, they'll cash a check and be able to mix the beanie weenies with the top ramen.
No, my number for guys that are making a six-figure income
before they make a cast,
before they ever make a cast, is around 10 to 15 guys.
And I think Jeffries is way low. I would go right in the middle of you two. I'm saying about 50 guys.
There's no way. You guys, there is no way.
I think 50.
Absolutely
JD
no
thinks
way.
100. You think one.
That's
you think
no.
Kevin Van Dam and Skeet.
That is not it. You guys are way off base. And someday, JD, I'm going to do my
anonymous
survey. This is what we do, Matthew. How many years have I been out there seeing these guys struggle? How many years?
I know, but still, even with 100, that's 30%. That means there's 70% of the guys. You put 150 on the FLW Tour, 70 or 80 guys on the Bass Pro Tour, and 75 on the Elite Series. And if you say 100, that's a third of the guys.
There's no 30%. Way.
I think about 15%.
All right. This is going to be a great conversation topic in the future. Anyway, JD. No,
he's got to pick his mom up.
I know. Real quick, a couple more from the instant feedback, and then we'll let you go. Don in Illinois wants to know, which tour brings your guys a higher sponsorship dollar?
Probably too early to tell on that. I mean, it's too early. I mean, we're not even a year into that, so okay. It's really hard to answer that one.
All right. And then let's see here. TJ in North Carolina, when you're dealing with companies, are you dealing most of the time with like the VP of marketing or, you know, PR directors? Who are you dealing with most of the time?
Yeah, I mean, you hope you're dealing with the marketing folks. Like I said, a lot of our work, though, you know, kind of falls up under a social media person. So depending on the size of the company. You know, you are working with, you know, the social media team. So, you know, like General Tire, you know, they're a huge sponsor of fishing. So they've got, you know, they've got kind of us helping them be the boots on the ground to help cover, you know, their guys and then covering the tour. So that's all going to kind of, you know, we'll work a lot with the social media people, but, yeah, I mean, as far as sponsorship goes, you know, usually you can spend a lot of time not talking to decision makers, you know, and that was part of the thing I had to learn early on, you know, was, you know, there's a lot of people kind of curious about fishing. And so, you know, you'll spend a lot of time educating people on it. And I have, you know, and you end up not having any kind of sponsorship from it, but, you know, it helps you get better at explaining fishing, and you know you should be able to explain it pretty quickly and why people are interested in it, and sometimes that ends up with a sponsorship, but
All right, last question from the instant feedback. David in Wisconsin wants to know, how have you reached out to non-endemics and how has that process worked?
Well, like I said, you end up kind of educating a lot. I think you know, I do think the Major League Fishing guys have done a good job of that, you know, with the starting with the television. You know, people do like to reach a big audience through that, you know, so I think they've opened some doors. I think Bassmasters has a lot of non-endemics as well. So I have found that I've never been able to really make the connection of, okay, here's your bass guy, and here's all the things he buys, you know, in a year. I've never really been able to make that connection between a company that doesn't sell something related to the marine or the fishing industry. And so, you know, generally they like to be able to tie some sales back to it. You know, and they get pretty analytical on some things. So it's, you know, that's kind of why you're, you know, you don't see that many companies involved outside the industry. But the more and more we have, the better. You know, really, the more we have, the better. And that way, you know, guys, you know, maybe in a few years there'll be more than 100 guys that make a good living at this outside of winnings. But, yeah. We'd all like to see more of those. And that's how I started out. In 2006, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get these non-endemics. You know, I come from a business background. I'll speak their language. And there's been some success. But it's tough. I mean, it is. It's tough. But if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
Yep.
My last question then, what's the craziest non-endemic that you've ever approached? That obviously probably didn't work out. But, I mean, have you like, made a call to Jeffrey's favorite company over there, Nike? Or, I mean, have you ever done anything just outlandish?
You know, early on, I probably put in some calls and probably painted up some boat wraps that, you know, I would probably look back now and go, that's hilarious. You know,
names on this with JD. Like what? Pepto-Bismol? Dr. Scholl's? What are we talking about here?
I remember painting up a Frito-Lay boat wrap one time, you know, with like corn chips on it and stuff, you know.
That's not that
I think
out.
I tried to hit up, public supermarkets, and I think I put like a big ribeye on the side of the boat. You know, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I just try to talk their language. And you obviously haven't seen any Publix sponsorships running around or anything like that. But there's been some that I was like, man, I wish they would have done that. They should have done that. But that's part of the fun. But it's made me appreciate salesmen a lot better. You know, I was not a salesman before, but I just had to learn the sales process and kind of work through it. And I'll say early on, I mean, I would like to write a book one day, probably won't write a book, but I would say, you know, you have to know what a bad deal is to know what a good deal looks like. So there were times when I would just beat my head, you know, trying to figure out, and then I would put together a deal and it would just not be good. And you go through it and you learn your lesson, you know, or try to put together a proposal and it just doesn't come together. So you kind of know now what's a good fit, you know, and what's in the wheelhouse. So I'd like to think that I've gotten better at the sales process, but
all right.
It makes you appreciate it.
All right. Very cool, man.
For sure.
Very cool to get some insight. I know a lot of fans were interested. There's a bunch of other questions we're just not
JD
able to get
was
to
afraid
on
that no
feed.
One would yeah. be interested in this, and I was like, I think you're under,
there's a ton
under,
of people watching
undervaluing the interest of what you do behind the scenes.
Yeah,
well, it's we love fishing, and fishing and sponsorships are pretty hand in hand. I mean, and that's good. I mean, that's a good thing for all of us. You know, it's, and I hope people, you know, support those companies. You know, I mean, you should have General Tires on your truck if you follow fishing. So I try my best to support those companies. And it is interesting. And you guys do the same thing, Mark. I mean, you know, you're working hard for sponsors. And I listen to, you know, the interviews you guys have with, you know, Boyd and Justin and different guys. And they know who's helping them out, who's supporting them and who they're working for. So it is interesting. That's why I grew up. I could name who people were sponsored by, you know. I mean, growing up, we saw Davy Heights truck when we lived in South Carolina. We'd see Davy Heights truck in the parking lot, and I can still remember, the companies that were on there, you know. So it is interesting. I'm glad people enjoyed it.
All right. Very cool, man. All right, we'll see you at 10 Killer, right? Maybe?
No.
No?
No, like I said, members. I got a Hunter will be there.
Oh, that's
I'm
right. Yeah.
Photography this week.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
I got homecoming pictures today.
That's right.
I'll be there. You know, here's the deal. I'll be there Sunday if Bill Lowen or Brandon Lester have a shot at winning.
Okay.
I will go to the end of the earth to see that.
So what we got?
Yeah, hopefully I'll see you guys on Sunday.
75% right, cool. Chance of seeing you on Sunday.
Yeah, there you have it. All right, dude.
Let's hope. Great
stuff. And I appreciate you taking time out to give the people some insight on what you do and how this game works. So best of luck to you the remainder of the year. And we will definitely see you soon, JD.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Banger.
All right.
Thanks.
See ya. All right, there you have it, JD Blackburn, and dude, I
there's
totally
a bunch of questions.
Respectfully disagree with that.
No, there's been
now,
a healthy discussion on the instant feedback.
I see the statement that was made. You know, if you get 70 grand for a bass boat, you get 12 grand for electronics. Look, folks, you know how many guys actually give. Or how many companies give the boat that they're using to the guy that's out there on
tour?
Very
few.
Very few. Most of them are memo deals.
That's why at the end of every year, you will see a lot of professional angler boats for sale. They are trying to sell that boat.
So they don't have to buy it.
They have to start making payments on it. I know of guys who have been making payments on two boats and are in a third boat.
Yeah. So,
but then there are also guys who get multiple boats.
Very few.
I said there are also guys, though. Are there not?
Very few.
But there are also guys. But yes, very few.
Very few. And that number out there, like I said, JD, great guy, very passionate about what he does, very entrenched.
They get the raw boat. They get a boat stripped
out. It's insane to say that 100 guys are making six figures out there.
I wouldn't say
before they.
That's
before
his opinion. You ask him the question.
I'm just telling you, dude.
And I think it's more than what you think.
More than 15 guys?
Yeah. I think it's between 40 and 50 guys. Okay. There's too many guys that have been doing this for too long that they would not be physically able to do it if they weren't making decent money at it.
That's because a lot of guys, even though they're out on tour, have an income stream that is coming either from their business, from their job, from some other income generating concept.
Right. What's the basic boat deal? Okay, let's say you've got a deal. We'll use ours. I have no idea what it is. It varies for different boat. Basscat.
Yeah.
Boom, you're a Elite Series rookie. You get whatever the pro deal is on the Basscat. So you're getting it on a
memo. And we don't know exactly what that deal is.
No, it's all different for everything, just based on kind of what I've heard. But you get the hole in the boat and whatever, and it's like for the year, for the memo.
Yeah.
I mean, run through, because I need some help on this too. And then you get like a discount on the motor, and then typically you get your electronics at a steep discount.
That is all based upon what what you've negotiated. But typically, some deals are even, look, we're going to memo this boat out to you for $58,000 or whatever the number
is. And then you run it for the year, and then after the year, you start making payments on it, or you can sell it. But a lot of times they'll make a little bit of a profit, because by the time you put the poles on it and the electronics and the trolling motor and all that stuff, you can basically sell it for what you've got into it.
Yeah.
So the concept is you make a few thousand bucks or you break even on it, and you get the new boat every year. And but it's not like you
still have to use it, though.
No,
it's not
like
you can go out and feed your family with this equipment that you're getting.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're making $5,000-$6,000 or if that on the boat at the end of the year, and then you're selling it. So it's not like you get the boat and then boom, you got $58,000 in it. Like, you still have to pay $58,000 for all that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And then a lot of guys actually order their boats, because obviously most of them are wrapped. Uh-huh. A lot of them have their boats sold before they even order it.
Right.
And they order it in the colors that whoever.
Harold Allen used to do that already. Yeah. He's like 2 years out on his boat. Yeah. Every once in a while going, I don't like this color, but that's what that guy wanted.
Yeah.
And then they run it. Can we take. Okay. So we have had a development. Well, we have what, 10 minutes?
About 5 minutes.
This might not work.
What?
Joe Opiger,
our good friend at FLW.
We have Lance Doty's phone number.
Oh, we can't call him right now.
Why can't we take a break and call him and see if we can
close
call
it to him see this afternoon.
You're gonna call him this afternoon.
Because I really want him to, I mean, I don't want to put him on the spot. We'll call him and get his thoughts. Okay. I think it's gonna go one of two ways. Either he's gonna be pissed off.
Oh, I think he'll think it's cool.
Or that's the other way, that there are so many people across the country, and it is kind of cool that you have these guys compete. And then the statement that we hear a lot of times is, well, now I know where I compare to the best in the world.
FLW 2013, the regional. Now, this is to go to the All-American.
Yeah.
First year I ever fished the BFLs.
Mm-hmm.
Regionals on Lake Texoma. I'm catching them. I'm in the 18-foot skeeter going about 55 miles an hour. And I make the final day. Jeff Reynolds, Todd Castledine, and Jim Tutt are in front of me. I thought it was the coolest damn thing ever. I missed the All-American by a pound, and I didn't care. I thought it was so cool. I'm like, holy cow, I was in the top 10 with Jeff Reynolds, Todd Castledine, and Jim Tutt.
It'd be interesting to get his feedback, and hopefully he will be willing to come on the show and talk about it. But if not, you know, off the record, maybe he'll say something and we can convey that to our fans.
First top 10, he got third, he got paid good. He made the regionals through it. I mean, it was a BFL super, so.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an easy bite, so.
We'll see. Maybe. All right. Very, very cool interview there. And
big
hopefully,
thanks to JD.
Yeah. Hopefully that gave a lot of people some insight and really kind of opened up, you know, how this game works when it comes to the whole agent thing.
Yeah. It's not,
it's not as glamorous as people
Tom
might
Cruise
think.
Deal.
No.
There's not going to be
not
a
even close.
Motion picture about it anytime soon.
No.
A lot of traveling, but, you think those guys are smashing them on 10 killer? That they are dropping it like crazy.
Yeah.
It had been 4+ feet. It's only 2.5 feet high now and continuing.
Somebody
to drop
wanted
it,
help on it. Their fantasy team. You can kind of go over that tomorrow, maybe.
They've dropped it a foot the last 24 hours. So that's going to pull those fish out of the bushes, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going to make the river not as viable. I mean, if they continue to drop it for the next 2 days.
Yeah, it will shut
how
that thing
fast
down.
Now, if it's supposed to rain a little bit, how fast will that come back up? No.
Yeah. If they're pulling the plug big time.
I mean,
time,
they pull the plug big time on it, Mark. I had it. That's what I was looking. I was looking up on my phone. And the, you know, 7 days ago, it was at a seven, like almost 738. And now it's down below 735. It was at like 735.5 yesterday. And now it's at 734.8. I mean, look at the graphs. I mean, they're dropping the heck out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is just in the past 24 hours.
Holy moly.
They pulled the plug on it.
Wow. Yeah, that may shut down that river bite then.
I mean, that... You're
depends on how much water remains, I guess.
That's 2.5.
That's
going to
majorly
2.8 feet, but
flip
if there's
the switch,
3, then it's 1.8. It could almost be less than a foot high by the time the derby
flip
starts.
Flip the switch on the offshore bite if that happens.
Now, if they drop it and then stop it, now there's also no flow.
Now it's a hodgepodge is what it turns into.
Now it's more your offshore multi-species guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spots, large, smallmouth. Your Zaldanes.
Yeah.
Your guys who are used to that. It's not good for the guys who are grass guys. Because there ain't no grass
there's
in that.
Zero
lake. There's zero grass. I mean, if you're intimidated by multiple
rocks.
Types of rock,
yeah.
Like Oklahoma guys are when they go to a grass lake, 10 killer's pretty intimidating because it's all rock. A little bit of clay, not much.
By the way,
bluff, chunk, gravel.
Did you see the report on where Mr. Downey caught his fish at Grand Lake?
No, no.
Did you read
it.
That? In the mid-lake area.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good deep structure?
No, it was shallow structure.
Shallow structure. Sure.
In the mid-lake area.
Shocker.
How many tournaments have been won in the mid-lake area?
Maybe it's a very productive area of the lake, Mark. He's got no reason to lie. The guy's back up
I'm
in
sure
Wisconsin.
I'm sure he caught him there. Right there in Martins. It was one of the areas. So, oh man,
that was a good show.
It was good. I want to thank JD once again for coming on. Tomorrow, I am working on something. Possibly, we might have an in-studio guest tomorrow.
An in-studio guest?
Yeah, possibly. Still working on it.
A fisherman?
Maybe on maybe on Wednesday too. I'm working on it.
What tour does he fish?
Not going to tell you. It's a surprise. It is a surprise.
Is he older or younger than 40?
That might give it away. You know who it is. Come on, I'm working on it. I've been working on this.
I mean, if it was Brad, you'd tell us it was
no,
Brad.
No, it's not Brad. I am going to try and get Brad in on Wednesday. He may or may not want to talk about his performance.
He'll want to talk about it. He's turned over the leaf. He understands how important discussion and evaluation is now, and he owns it.
Yeah.
He also gets pissed when he doesn't catch him, but now he's still willing to talk about it.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. Everybody stay tuned. We will I will post it out there right now. It's TBA, but on BassZone.com I will post it here shortly, hopefully. All right.
All right.
Good stuff, man. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, right here on BTL. That's it, folks. We're out of here.